Scientists are worried about what's happening with the melting of the Antarctic's ice sheets and what it could mean for sea level rise and coastlines in many countries. There's a 2-month-long journey underway right now to conduct new research that will better explain what's happening and the role of climate change. But it's a journey that provides no guarantees that researchers will even be able to get the data they want. Our science correspondent, Miles O'Brien, is on that ride and filed this report for our series, Tipping Point.
So close and yet so far. After years of meticulous planning and 3 long weeks at sea, a Korean icebreaker carrying 2 helicopters and a team of world-class scientists has made it as far as we had dared to hope. On January 8th, we moored in the shadow of the most consequential glacier on the planet, Thwaites in West Antarctica. But the anchor leg, an 18-mile hop by helicopter onto the ice, has so far been an air bridge too far. Weather briefings in the wheelhouse of the Araon have offered little reason for optimism. Dominic O'Rourke is the chief pilot.
Hopefully we can fly, scout the camp, maybe tomorrow evening.
The helicopters have flown about as much as the penguins, and the marquee event of this expedition hangs by a thread. The ambitious goal? Establish a camp on the glacier to drill a small hole at the place where ice, land, and the sea meet, some 3,000 feet below, the so-called grounding line. The instrument's researchers hope to drop into the seawater would yield unprecedented data to help explain why no glacier is melting faster anywhere on Earth.
That ice is beginning to fall apart in certain places.
Aboard the ship, mathematician and climate scientist David Holland of New York University. Why all the effort for this one?
This is a special one that over the decades we've discovered is the most crucial to the future of sea level on planet Earth.
Full stop.
Full stop.
Thwaites has a Florida-sized footprint and is on average more than 0.5 mile thick. It contains enough water to lift sea levels the world over by 2.5 feet. And satellite images show it is melting at an astonishing rate, upwards of 300 feet a year in places, far faster than most Antarctic ice, where losses are typically measured in inches.
Undeniably, it's melting. Then the question is, why?
Researchers believe climate change has altered wind patterns around Antarctica, weakening easterly winds and allowing cold meltwater from glaciers to flow more freely out to sea. That, in turn, opens a pathway for deeper, warmer ocean currents to reach Thwaites' grounding line, where they erode the glacier from below.
This is the place where warm water is on your doorstep.
And the glacier appears to be acting as a keystone, buttressing 2 other large ice shelves.
These ice shelves and associated ice could go too. So now you're up to 10 feet globally, which is an enormous volume.
In 2015, the National Academies made predicting ice loss here the top Antarctic priority for the National Science Foundation. But the Trump administration cut the NSF budget by about 55%, the Antarctic program by roughly 70%.
The NSF can no longer afford to operate a research icebreaker and isn't funding any of the science on this expedition. South Korea, meanwhile, is steaming full speed ahead in the opposite direction, doubling down on polar science. It is building a next-generation research icebreaker nearly twice the size, and its polar work is funded through 2031.
We're really grateful for having those kind of money for continuing our work, better understanding of global sea level rise.
Principal research scientist Won Song Lee is with the Korea Polar Research Institute, KOPRI.
Help me understand why Korea has made polar research a priority.
My country is the peninsula, so facing everywhere the ocean. So it's really vulnerable to what kind of a millimeter-wise kind of sea level change.
Our 2-month voyage south began 2 days after Christmas.
This is getaway day to Antarctica.
We embarked from Littleton, New Zealand, heading southeast across the Southern Ocean for 3,200 miles to Thwaites. By New Year's Eve, we saw our first iceberg.
Pretty darned amazing. All right, we must be going in the right direction.
On January 5th, we reached sea ice.
It's thin and we're going through it like a knife through butter, but there's a lot of thicker ice ahead.
That was an understatement, as I learned the next day. The Arrone was deep in a struggle to make headway.
The sea ice has gotten very thick, and the icebreakers have been having a really hard time getting through it.
But our skipper is brave and sure. After two sleepless days navigating a winding route through the ice, Captain Gwang Hyung Kim got us through. And on January 8th, I woke up to this astonishing sight.
I can't even believe what I'm looking at. It's just beautiful. That's the face of the Thwaites Glacier.
On the journey south, science teams spent nearly every waking hour testing gear and refining plans. They aim to sample the waters around Thwaites, pour the sea ice, and fly deep penetrating radar over the glacier. Most of the gear belongs to the British Antarctic Survey, which pioneered hot water drilling into glaciers.
So we're talking about, you know, 20, 25 tons of equipment and fuel and people as well.
Keith Makinson is an oceanographer and drilling engineer. He will help lead the effort to establish a hot water drilling camp, as they did on the Dotson Ice Shelf in 2022.
It's really very simple. I mean, ultimately, we're creating hot water. We use a long hose, we lower it into the snow, and we make a hole. The complication comes is that we're in a freezing environment. Nature's fighting back all the time.
No truer words have been spoken on this journey, as the helicopter pilots have been reminded. Flying over the sea ice and crevasses is not a problem.
But so having these little reference points on the surface obviously make the difference.
Yeah, massive, massive difference. Yeah, exactly.
But when we look toward the featureless place on the ice where they want to establish the drill camp, low clouds erase the horizon, creating whiteout conditions.
If we go charging off in there, you're just in the white. You don't actually know which way is up anymore.
O'Rourke and the team kept pressing. A brief break in the clouds let him drop a three-person safety crew onto the ice to check for hazardous hidden crevasses. They used a remote control vehicle to tow a ground-penetrating radar to see beneath the surface. Mission accomplished, but the weather quickly went, well, south.
It looks very poor, very, very white.
As nervous plans formed for an unexpected overnight stay on Thwaites, O'Rourke spotted a sliver of blue, slipped in, and landed safely. The team returned to the ship to a hero's welcome. As we waited for a break in the weather, the ship cruised near neighboring Pine Island Glacier, and the scientists did as much work as this harsh, remote place would allow. Finally, after 10 long days of gray, the clouds dissolved and the sun broke through. The hot water drill team wasted no time implementing an improvised plan to fit the narrow window on the ice. Their final possible workday is February 7th.
Let's go check out the drilling kit.
Physical oceanographer Peter Davis is one of the team leaders.
By my count, 20 days.
Yes.
Between now and when the last possible workday on Thwaites.
Yeah.
Is that enough time?
Fingers crossed. It should be.
I could maybe try and come with the sling load.
To reduce the number of helicopter flights carrying people and supplies to the camp, the team will leave behind some spare parts and some creature comforts.
If all goes well, if the weather stays good and we can continue to work, that should be sufficient time.
So no margin.
No margin anymore. Yeah, we've used that margin.
It's a last-ditch bid for data that has eluded scientists for years. Everything has to go right in a place where almost nothing ever does.
And Miles joins us now from Antarctica. So, Miles, what's the latest on the effort to set up camp there?
Things are moving pretty smoothly here, Jeff. By my count, they're about halfway through all the sling loads, those nets filled with equipment, that they are flying 18 miles into the glacier to the sweet spot where this camp will be built for the hot water drill. They need to do about 40 of them to get all the equipment on the ice where it needs to be. So about halfway through, I think by tomorrow, they might have the job done and they can get busy with that drilling effort.
And we saw that weather conditions can make things pretty dangerous. How is the weather holding up?
Well, right now it's 29 degrees, about a 10-mile-an-hour wind, and I got my sunglasses on because the sun is out. And interestingly, it is still a little bit gray. There's kind of a little bit of ground cloud in the area where they're landing. But as they add pieces to the camp, it gives the pilots more things to fixate on as a point of reference. So the bigger the camp, the easier it is for them to land in what would otherwise be marginal conditions. So I think they're kind of over the hump on this one.
And what can you tell us, Miles, about the other science projects being conducted on the ship there?
Well, you know, there's several teams on here that have projects associated with understanding sea ice, understanding other aspects of the oceanographic condition in and around Thwaites. There's a team that is going to fly a ground-penetrating radar over the glacier to really try to characterize what is beneath, not just the ice, but the terrain below. They're all kind of cooling their heels, waiting for this event to get underway so they can get some time on the helicopter. So everybody here is taking sort of a team spirit approach to it, and everybody comes in with low expectations because of the environment they're in. But they're sort of champing at the bit to do their science, frankly.
Are you going to get to go to the camp?
You bet, Jeff. If I have to commandeer one of those helicopters myself, I'm going out to that camp. No, they have told us that as soon as things settle down and the science gets a few helicopter rides, we'll get an opportunity to go out there and really see what it's all about. And we will report back for sure on that.
Miles O'Brien with the exceptional assignment tonight, reporting from Antarctica. Miles, it's great to see you.
Good to see you, Jeff.